It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. When you think of the greatest American songwriters, who comes to mind? George Gershwin, Cole Porter, Bob Dylan. Many would put Randy Newman with those fellas, and deservedly so. Mr. Newman is one of the most prolific songwriters this country has ever produced. His many honors include 6 Grammys, 3 Emmys, and 2 Academy Awards for his work as a film composer. As a recording artist, he's had highly acclaimed albums, including Little Criminals, which included the hit song Short People, and he's a member of the Songwriters Hall of Fame and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Randy Newman is appearing at Heinz Hall on July 30th as part of the Pittsburgh Symphony's Thursday Icons series, and he joins us now by phone from Los Angeles. Randy Newman, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
It's good to be here. Thank you, Paul.
So what do you know about the Pittsburgh Symphony? How eager are you to come here and perform with them?
Well, very eager. They're a great symphony. That's what I know. And they went on the road with someone. I can't think of who. Hamlish, maybe.
Yes, he was the did the pops here for many years.
Oh yeah, he did. I think they went on the road with him at one point. It's an odd thing to remember, but they're good. I have some albums by him when American Orchestras recorded.
You've been quoted as saying, "I grew up with maybe an inordinate love of the orchestral sound." Can you explain how that developed?
Well, my uncle were film composers, so when I was old enough not to make noise on the soundstage, because they didn't have booth then, you'd have to be on the stage and not creak your chair or make any noise. So I heard that studio orchestra, which is one of the best orchestras in the world, I think, at the time. And they were known all over the world. You know, when I played with orchestras in England and stuff, some of the musicians asked about the horn player Vince DeRosa, Eleanor Slatkin, Felix Slatkin, some of those guys, people that were in the orchestra. And I had that sound in my ear. It was a great sound. And inordinate love, because I would try and use it maybe more than I should have in arrangements. Things. I changed songs to be able to use the orchestra maybe more than I should have early on in my career. You can't love something that fantastic inordinately, really, unless you use it the wrong way, and I think I did sometimes.
I read that you were pretty young when you became a professional songwriter. How old were you, and what did you write about?
I was 16. I wrote about, the first song I wrote was, let's see, "They tell me it's summer, but I know it's a lie, because summer's for laughing. All I do is..." I can't make that anymore. "All I do is cry." You know, just nothing. The season, whatever it was. I just tried to write like Carole King. If I ever had an idol, you know, outside of Gershwin or Beethoven, God help me, I really admired the way she wrote for people, and that's what I was trying to do. So I wrote about things I didn't know anything about. I still do, but the first song I wrote was like that. It was "They Tell Me It's Summer," and I wrote, you know, sort of straight love songs for a little while.
Does it ever bother you to have the terms, these are the ones that come up a lot when different critics and people describe your music, acerbic, caustic, ironic, those words constantly come up. They're constantly attached to your non-soundtrack music. What are your feelings about those descriptions?
Well, you know, I don't mind it so much. I think I always believe that the people in my songs often are insensitive, all right, very often. They don't know themselves very well. They often are, what I believe they are consistently, is worse people than the people in the audience. I think the audience can recognize not themselves in the people that I write about, but people who are more imperfect than themselves. You know, that there's a very early song I wrote called "Davy the Fat Boy," which is about one kid reassuring, not really reassuring, but ostensibly reassuring very obese kid's parents that he'll take care of them. But he's not going to take care of them. He exploits them and puts them in a carnival show. Things like that I write about. So it's rough stuff, all right. Like I say, I sort of lost interest in in writing straight love songs because everyone was doing it, and I chose not to. And it's sort of a mistake for the medium in a way, but like I say, I thought you ought to have the same latitude as a short story writer should could have. I mean, Alice Munro doesn't have to be in her story. She doesn't have to be the protagonist in it. And I'm not. I mean, I always like to eliminate myself from the songs.
What happens when people don't get the joke? Because a lot of times you're coming up with these scenarios in order to make a point. And of course, perhaps your most famous song is Short People. What happens, Randy, when people don't get the joke? How does that make you feel?
Sometimes I think if it's a lot of people, which has happened once or twice, I think I didn't do it well. But it really doesn't happen much. I think they're wrong. What can I say? I mean, Short People, the guy is so clearly nuts. But people aren't used or weren't used to before The Simpsons and things like that. But, you know, mainly The Simpsons in a way. Of words meaning what they say, irony or whatever you want to call it. So if I say they have no reason to live, which is so outside, I mean, obviously the guy is nuts, and no one could possibly think that way who is sane. To take it seriously is clearly wrong. But, you know, I think now it's a lot better where people realize that words don't always mean what they usually mean.
Absolutely. The song Baltimore, which captured a sense of hopelessness about that city, considering what's going on there now, have the recent tragic events given the song renewed relevance for you and for others, or is it more like a snapshot frozen in 1977?
No, they're playing it more. Nina Simone's record of it, and they've made a rap version of it. I never felt great about the song because I didn't know the town that well. I knew it. I'd never been there. I mean, I went through it on a train and saw those marble stairways. And I also saw National Geographic and it was fantastic looking. All those eastern towns are different. It's kind of amazing to me. And Baltimore looked very different from everything else. I don't know. I just was sort of inspired by the place, so I wrote about it.
Hard times in the city. In a hard town by the sea. Ain't nowhere to run to. Ain't nothing here for free.
Is the concept album dead, Randy? Will we ever see the likes of something like Good Old Boys again? And could you record Good Old Boys now, given the sensitivities of these times and the PC climate?
No, I don't think so. I don't play rednecks very much. I don't think I could. Also, that song was about Southerner being upset with the North feeling morally superior about the race problem. That's what it was about. But that's not really the problem at the moment. I mean, I think everyone realizes that the problem is everywhere. You know, this recent South Carolina thing, it's put the focus on the South again. But I mean, the police killings and stuff has been northern, and it's not, it's everywhere, and I think people know it now. It isn't the problem that you don't have to tell people that it's bad in Cleveland and Cincinnati and L.A. and everywhere else. If I were going to write a song now about it, I would take a different subject. And I've written songs since about the same problem, and they were different. A song like Roll with the Punches was a little closer to what it is like now. I keep writing about that because it's the big issue to me in this country.
You've written a lot about the older, what some might call Rust Belt cities, Baltimore, Cleveland. Have you ever thought about writing a song about Pittsburgh? And if so, how would it go?
Well, I have a song now that I don't think I'll finish recording that talks about the Pittsburgh Courier. It's sort of making fun of myself for all these songs I've written about patting myself on the back for writing all these sort of civil rights songs and being such a good boy about that. And I talk about reading the Pittsburgh Courier when I was 3 years old, before I could even read, being so well informed, you know, that newspaper. I don't think I'm going to finish the song. It's called Race Man. Read the Pittsburgh Courier when I was 3 years old. You know, the famous African-American newspaper.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think I'll finish it. So there's just a little touch of it. And what else?
Why don't you think you'll finish it?
Yeah, I don't know if that I will. It sort of scares me, the song. I mean, I'm not sure that I can. The record be coming out next year, but I don't know that I'll write that song. I don't need it for the record. It just makes fun of myself. He's a race man. He's a race man. Been a race man all his life. Been a race man. He's a race man. A race man. So's my wife. She's a race man. You know, makes fun of myself for thinking I should be like rewarded. I'll pretend like now that the problem's almost over and that I've solved the problem. I've solved the problem with a black chorus, you know, whom I've paid to be there. It's sort of hard to do. I don't have it down yet, so I don't know whether I'll finish it, but maybe I'll do it next time.
I was going to ask you, are we going to get another pop album from you soon that isn't attached to a Pixar film, or has it sounds like you're on your way to doing that?
Yeah, next year. I'll play a couple new songs maybe when I'm there, though I got a pretty strict set list for that. I'll play a couple new songs in Pittsburgh.
That would be fantastic.
I got a song about Putin. Maybe I'll play that.
Okay. Can you give us a little taste of it? Are you sitting by a piano now?
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I am.
Sneak preview what you'll hear with Randy Newman and the Pittsburgh Symphony.
Putin, putting his pants on one leg at a time. Me, he's just like a regular fella. He ain't nothing like a regular fella. Putin, putting his hat on, hat size number 9. You say Putin's getting big-headed? Putin's head's just fine, just because he drives a giant tractor across the Trans-Siberian Plain. He can power a nuclear reactor with the left side of his brain. And when he take his shirt off, it drives the ladies crazy. When he take his shirt off, make me want to be a lady. It's a Putin girl. Putin, where you put it? Where you put it next to me? And so on.
That was great. That was excellent.
Yeah, that's a good joke.
All right. Well, we'll
look. You're the first to hear it.
Oh, wow. What an honor. What an honor for us. Well, we'll look forward to hearing that in Pittsburgh and the other things that you have lined up for us.
I really look forward to coming.
Well, we look forward to seeing you here in Pittsburgh, and Randy Newman joining us by phone from Los Angeles. Thanks so much for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Randy Newman is appearing at Heinz Hall on July 30th as part of the Pittsburgh Symphony's Thursday Icon Series. More Essential Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESA.